This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, thanks for being here as we cover things that are happening around the Umpqua Valley and organizations as well. This month designated as Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and from Peace at Home Advocacy Center, the Executive Director, Melanie Premer. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle, and I'm glad to hear there's some sunshine in our future.
Yes, indeed. So kind of give people an overall update on Peace at Home. You guys stay very busy with a lot of different things.
Yeah, so this year, like you said, always busy. Earlier this year, we had a really wonderful experience in remodeling some of our shelter rooms, which I think many of you know that we own a hotel. And Umpqua Health Alliance helped us build some food prep areas and a communal kitchen and replace some HVAC units and put in some beautiful flooring. And so the people that are staying with us and needing safety have these great places to stay. These great rooms to stay in. And this summer, though, we did receive some sort of disappointing news around some federal and state funding cuts. And so we're still navigating that, raising funds, doing some additional grant writing. And of course, our fundraisers will help better coming up. But really, I think the thing that people should understand about those funding cuts is the impact on legal advocacy services. We typically have two advocates at the courthouse every morning at 7:30 to help people file different types of protective orders. And currently, we do not have staffing available to do that every day. So we are looking for volunteers to help us. It does not have to be a paid position to be a trained advocate. Volunteers can do exactly the same job. And right now, we are in full swing of preparing for the holidays. I'm pretty excited about Halloween next week, and I'm going to make some table decorations. But if people would like to get engaged in helping us put on events and purchase gifts for people throughout the holidays, join us.
All right. And we're going to talk about a couple of your events later on as well. So when you talk about domestic violence, as sort of a designated month. Any idea how long that's been in place?
Yeah, so it's a national campaign that started in the 80s, so in 1987, I believe it was launched as a national campaign. So many of us around the country are really building awareness for domestic violence and how to prevent domestic violence, how to identify domestic violence and help survivors access services.
And how do you define domestic violence?
So there is a legal definition as well as a definition that domestic violence agencies or victim service agencies have in the way that people may engage with us. And that definition is looking at a pattern of behavior that someone uses to gain power and control over an intimate partner. And that can happen in many different ways.
And so while it's domestic violence, it isn't necessarily always physical, right?
That's correct. So we also support people who are experiencing sexual violence in their relationship, emotional violence, psychological violence, and even financial violence. We see people use power and control in different ways. That could even be withholding food from someone or even their medications.
Wow. And how big an issue is it? I mean, it's probably almost impossible to totally know.
Yeah, well, studies around the nation suggest that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men in the U.S. have experienced physical violence, rape, or stalking in their lifetime. Here in Douglas County, we answer almost 4,000 crisis calls a year, and we serve about 1,200 people in our office.
And the aspect that it's 1 in 4 men, you said?
Yes, that's correct.
I imagine some people are surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do have people in the community, especially because I have this privilege of being out in the community and talking to people on a regular basis. And I I do continue to hear people say, oh, you have men in your shelter, and that is true. We serve all genders.
And let's see, let's back up. You've been at Peace at Home for how long?
Oh, 13 years. It's a great year.
Wow. And as you go in through this kind of work, have you seen any improvement? Is there any lessening, or does it seem like it's just getting worse?
Well, if we look at the people we're serving and the types of services that we're providing, I would say that domestic violence has not necessarily increased in that way in the number of people reporting. However, this year we have seen a significant spike in the number of folks reporting sexual violence. So earlier this year, we saw a 27% increase in the number of people reaching out for services related to being sexually assaulted or raped.
Anything to connect that to?
No, I think that's a really hard thing to figure out. I mean, it's hard to know if that's because people feel more comfortable and supported reaching out, or there, in fact, is an increase in the number of people being assaulted. It's really hard to determine that for sure.
And what part of this does substance use abuse play into this?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's really about power and control. We know that there are situations where maybe substance use is happening in the relationship, and maybe things escalate more quickly. But really, it comes down to power and control in the relationship and someone trying to oppress somebody else.
And as people come in, you probably see victims just about any age.
Yes, we provide services to children, teenagers, people of all ages. I would say in the last 4 years, we've seen an increase in the number of women over the age of 55 and 65 accessing services also.
And do sometimes people feel like they are trapped? By the time they get to you, this is not a new thing. It's been going on for a while, but they really weren't sure what to do, where to go, who to contact, or if they would even have more, issues for their own safety if they did contact somebody.
Yeah, and as advocates, honestly, I'm a worrier. That's just who I am. And I'm not the only person that worries about people who do feel trapped every day. And we know there are many people that may never reach out to us. And we do worry about situations and relationships where the violence escalates to even possible murder. I know law enforcement in Douglas County has really worked hard to build partnerships with us to better support survivors, especially those who are feeling trapped and feel safe reaching out. And so when someone has the opportunity to reach out, we can certainly help with safety planning and resources and trying to figure out where to go, because there's lots of things on people's mind. In addition to being coerced and in fear of their life, they're also in fear of having nowhere to live, living on the streets maybe, having their basic needs taken from them, everything from food, healthcare, and really supporting people and accessing those things.
And depending on how, a relationship may be set up, especially a longer-term relationship, a lot of times people on their devices are able to keep track of each other for good reasons, generally, if somebody is lost or why haven't they gotten home yet or whatever. But if you're in one of these situations, does that add to the worry of being trapped? I mean, do you have to almost find yourself a separate phone or device?
Absolutely. And I would say if you're supporting someone that may be in fear of their life and in a relationship that's very controlling, that you have those conversations around their cell phone, having a second cell phone, maybe leaving that cell phone at home if you reach out for services. I would also encourage people to think about trackers on their cars. That's become more and more common. Peace at Home actually just purchased a device to try and locate trackers on vehicles as well.
Wow. So when somebody comes to you, talk about some of the services that are available.
Yeah, so as we mentioned earlier, we do provide some support around legal advocacy, so filing protective orders. But most importantly, we have a crisis line that's available 24/7. So someone can call, maybe talk about the situation that they're in and their relationship and understand how we can support them. And you can walk into our office as well during our business hours. It doesn't have to be a phone call if you'd prefer to meet with someone in person. But we also provide sheltering services, some housing services. Advocates are available to meet at the hospital and support someone who's being sexually assaulted, maybe building that bridge and connection to law enforcement, or a nurse examiner who may need to collect forensic evidence.
You mentioned your offices. Maybe people don't know where that's at.
Yeah, we have multiple locations that are throughout Douglas County, but our location where people can walk in and talk to an advocate is on Douglas Avenue. So it's on the corner of Douglas and Fowler Streets. And we are open Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
All right, back with more from Melanie Frommer, Peace at Home Advocacy Center in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Peace at Home Advocacy Center Executive Director Melanie Frommer. October Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And when somebody comes in, that really starts what probably may be a very long-term relationship with them, right? I mean, these issues don't get solved easily.
Yeah, I mean, we see people who have been in really all types of relationships. It could be a dating relationship, maybe a marriage. I mean, it's not uncommon to meet with folks who have been with someone for maybe a couple of months or even decades. And like I mentioned earlier, we are seeing women in particular reach out who have been married for decades and decades and finding the opportunity to come seek help and support.
Wow. So you have got a couple of events coming up. One of them is later this week, Take Back the Night. Talk about that.
Yeah. So next week, October 23rd, we're hosting our first annual Take Back the Night events. And really, this year's focus is on safety, support, and solidarity. So through the month of October, you could wear purple to show solidarity for survivors and support. But at our events, we will have some survivors speak. We will certainly hear from a representative from law enforcement and a nurse examiner. And we're going to take a walk downtown. And we're encouraging people to wear neon colors if they like. We are providing glow-in-the-dark bracelets so that we can be a bright light for survivors downtown that evening. It starts at 5:30 on the courthouse lawn.
And that's next week, not this week.
Yes, next week. I got you.
You apparently did, or I would be wondering why nobody, you know, where was everybody when I got down there? So I don't know. I'm going to have to double check that on my schedule. I'm not sure how I got that one sideways. But I am known to show up in the wrong place periodically.
We'll get it on your calendar, Kyle.
At the wrong time. So that's coming up next week. All right, that's going on. And is this a new thing?
It is. Like I mentioned, this is our first annual. So some people may remember years ago, we used to host the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event downtown. So again, this is another walk to support survivors and really show our community that we're here to believe survivors and be a beacon of light for them.
And people who've seen ancient social media pictures may allegedly find me in high heels. One of those things from back then.
I should dig out that picture. I'm sure I have it somewhere.
Okay. Well, why did I bring that up? Also, you've got the Empower 2026 event a ways off. What's going on with that?
Oh, ways off. That's so funny. So it's February 28th of next year, yes, at Seven Feathers. However, we have performers, both dancers and vocalists, who perform at the event, local people who have talent or really exploring a talent and putting on a great show. But this is the month where we start recruitment and people start sharing their vision with us and what they would like to perform, and being part of this experience to practice together for several months to support survivors.
And I've always been amazed by that, the fact that people walk in the door, varying levels of having done this before or not, and are willing to go out on a big stage in front of a big crowd and do this, but also set so many things to the side so they get all this practice time in. Sounds like a big commitment.
It is a big commitment, but I have always kept in mind that the thing about this commitment is we should try our best to exercise. So maybe this is an opportunity to focus on yourself and be healthy and get exercise, as well as be part of a group and have connection and give back to your community.
And what kinds of genres of music or other things do you have going on with that?
Oh, well, we're still in the planning phase. But last year, we had so many different performances, everything from our very energetic line dance team, as well as belly dancing and hip hop. And we have vocalists that are performing all types of music, including, oh my gosh, if you were there last year, I was crying in the audience just out of complete admiration for Allison Pinkelman, who serves on our board of directors. We have many board members who participate in this event, as well as community members. But Allison sang the song Creep by Radiohead. Is that correct?
Maybe.
Anyway, I should know that since I'm a 90s kid. But yeah, I mean, it was just so moving. And many of our performers are dedicating their performances to people who have empowered them, supported them, and given them the strength during adversity.
So if somebody hears this and this is like a new thing that they aren't aware of, but maybe they would consider doing it, what do they do?
I would encourage you to reach out and chat with me. I mean, it could be as simple as a phone call this week. We're also meeting folks. I'm happy to have coffee and talk about your vision. But really, we'll just come to the table and have a conversation about what is it that you can perform, whether it's a song or a dance. And we'll figure out how to get you connected. Some folks also just join the planning committee to get involved and see what happens behind the scenes to see if maybe the following year they bring their performance.
And this is like your big fundraiser, right?
It is. This is our one annual fundraiser for the year.
And you mentioned potential funding cuts, navigating your way through that. A lot of things are shifting. A lot of things are kind of up in the air around the nation. When you're talking about the serious topics you guys deal with, is that really kind of concerning to you?
It is concerning. I mean, we're concerned about many things, not just our organization, but many organizations. Actually, Sarah Wickersham, the executive director of Douglas Cares, and I have been talking about how we come together and support each other, that we've always sort of pooled resources and supported each other. But how do we really talk to the community about how to support all survivors, whether that be at Douglas Cares or Peace at Home? And then I think just thinking about things like SNAP benefits and healthcare, I mean, all of these things are important to all of us. And having those basic needs, and shelter is a basic need. And without those, it's very difficult to heal and thrive.
All right. And if people want to find out more about all the things that Peace at Home does, talk about the various ways they can connect with you.
So you can connect through Facebook or Instagram. You can also visit our website at peaceathome.com. If you're looking for services or information, you can call our crisis line at 541-673-7867.
All right, from Peace at Home Advocacy Center, Executive Director Melanie Prumber, thanks for coming in.
Have a great day, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.